Welcome to the View My Seats podcast. I'm your host, John Lord. My guest, Rebecca Pfefferman, is the head of South by Sports at the upcoming South by Southwest Music, Film, and Interactive Festivals taking place in Austin, Texas between March 13th and the 22nd. Rebecca, welcome to the View My Seats podcast, and thanks for joining me.
Hi, John. Yeah, thanks for having me.
South by Southwest has been around since 1987, but this is only the second year that the festival has hosted South by Sports. So the question is, what took you all so long?
it's been a long gestation of becoming what South by Southwest is in general. I mean, 87 was when music started, but it was another 7 years before Film and Interactive began in 94. And then probably both of those weren't really on the mainstream radar until around 2005, 2006, 2007. So it's really been a long growth period, and South by Sports in particular is an expansion of programming that South by Southwest has had in some form or another for a number of years. So the Interactive Festival, you know, had a handful of sports-related panels over years, sports and technology, and the Film Festival has had a handful of sport-related movies pretty regularly. And then in 2014, we just sort of decided to expand it, give it a clean footprint and brand it, and take it to another level. So that's where we got to now.
Yeah, and the whole South by Southwest model is so hip, it's so cool, it's so popular with so many different kinds of people. I'm interested, beyond what we can read from your website, what is the overall goal and purpose of South by Sports?
Well, that's a great question. So the idea is that we're sort of prime opportunity to South by Southwest the sport industry. So because what's happening as part of Interactive and Film, we're taking a look at a broad view on the future of sport in all its forms, which allows us to really cover a really diverse range of topics. But at the same time, with a uniquely South by Southwest perspective, which is both cultural and technological. So while the range of topics is quite diverse, each individual session is meant to have a very sort of granular, specific angle to it so that attendees who are attending from the sports industry will find something to take away because it's going to be forward-thinking and relevant for their industry. But at the same time, it will be specific, translatable, relatable enough so that somebody who is attending for South by Southwest Interactive or Film is still going to be able to take something away and apply it to their own business or experience. And then the third element, which is pretty unique to South by in the sense that you have all these different creative industries mixing in one and now adding in sports to the mix, is that while we're built as an industry event, these South by Sports sessions provide an opportunity for sports consumers and fans who are there for Interactive and Film to get access to learn about what's going on in the sports industry, or maybe, you know, if they're a hockey fan and they want to see the president of the Blackhawks. And so it's a real dynamic mix of opportunity for both the panelists and the participants.
Yeah, and music and film remains really the backbone of South by Southwest. And I'm interested, and you kind of touched on it a little bit right there, but I'm really interested to know how South by Sports incorporates those essential elements, especially with some of your films that you're going to be showing at your festival.
Sure. So South by Sports itself is a three-day track. So the bulk of the panels is going to happen over the course of the 3 days, and I think we'll have 54 total panels this year. And then on the film side, it's sort of complementary. So the Film Festival is playing 9 feature films and 5 short-length films that are all branded for South by Sports. So that doesn't mean that the Film Festival added a category for sport films. It just, they're sort of peppered throughout the program. But everything that is sport-related has been sort of branded South by Sports, and that means it's also open to Interactive badge holders. And what's cool about the film program and how that relates to sports is that we can kind of get into the question of what is sport and play around with it. And, for example, this year there's a documentary called For the Record that's part of South by Sports that's about competitive, like the world record-holding competition for court stenography, which on its head doesn't seem necessarily like it's sport related, but at the same time, if you watch the trailer, it's actually, you know, these people, how they perform under pressure, they're training, they're trying to win, they want to be the best, and that is inherent to sport. So we're able to explore through the film side of the Selfie Sports these themes that sort of permeate into our culture and how they play back into the sport world. And then on the music side, it's a mix. I mean, we're, at the moment, in year two, we're exploring it primarily through panel programs, partially because the footprint of the event is Selfie Sports takes place the first 3 days of the festival, which is a 10-day festival, and music doesn't begin until day five, the formal music festival part. So it's a little bit harder to incorporate, you know, music performance elements at this stage, but there's certainly room for growth and adjustment there.
Yeah, speaking about growth, South by Southwest seems like it's the kind of festival that is really made for the consumer. I'm wondering how easy is it for let's say a prospective filmmaker to submit and get their sports documentary screened at South by Sports?
Well, it's a tough competitive world out there for independent filmmakers in general. I think this year the film festival received nearly 3,000 feature submissions and
wow,
ended up playing 150. So, and of those, again, I think 9 were sport related. So it's highly competitive. I think for any film short or other feature length or short, what they're always looking for on the film programming side is a unique story or some sort of creative vision they haven't seen before. Or maybe you take a story that we've seen, but there's something really compelling about the acting or the subject matter that is just leaps off the screen at you. So there's no real true formula that makes sense. I mean, we have, for South by Sports this year, we've got something that feels kind of like a straight-ahead sports doc, you know, called Son of the Congo, which is actually Grantland Features' first film, following Serge Ibaka from the Thunder as he returns to the Congo, and you know, it's a somebody goes home for that athlete returning to their roots story, which is not something we haven't seen before. But Serge Ibaka is such a tremendous human being, and his humanity is just unparalleled almost, and you just immediately feel and relate, and he's such an exceptional person that the film itself, which is also shot really beautifully, brings something new to the table, new to the genre. So it's really about what the content is more than anything.
Yeah, and as South by Southwest and South by Sports continues to grow in popularity, I'm wondering if the organizers you included are concerned at all about, you know, losing the focus of perhaps your mission. And I don't know if you know, you have all these different media companies, movie studios, you know, you just mentioned Grantland, you know, all these big players in media want to be involved in South by Southwest and South by Sports because they know that people are going to come to the festival, that people are going to talk about your festival. It's a really, really popular event. I wonder, as popularity continues to grow, if that's going to kind of skew programming more towards the commercial. And is that something that you guys think about at South by Sports?
Sure. I mean, I think as an event on the whole, I think we embrace that. Quite frankly, I think that's one of the things that's made us so special and unique is that all these various industries and brands and participants are all in one place at the same time, and that's what makes the energy here quite electric. You know, we have challenges in terms of physical space of producing the event and venue sizes and hotel capacities in the city of Austin, Texas, but by and large, our main agenda is always to produce the best live event we possibly can and to create an environment where these people can intermingle and connect and collaborate in ways they wouldn't have opportunity to otherwise, as well as learn what's going on in their industry. So is that consumer focused necessarily? No, but are our participants consumers in and of themselves? Absolutely. So there's a lot of really relatable elements that go hand in hand in sort of creating that better experience for our participants.
And new for 2015 in South by Sports is something you guys are calling problem solver sessions. Can you explain how those are going to work? Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I'm really excited about those. So it's just sort of the first session of the day in one of our rooms is going to have this problem solver's format, which is it's a bit more informal. It's these, they're not necessarily small group discussions, but they're meant to be interactive opportunities for the panel leaders to generate a discussion that can actually get into the brass tacks and the granular problem-solving solutions for a particular industry, a particularly issue that is facing the industry. The idea being that you sort of get all these people in one place, and maybe they can actually sort of hash out some real solutions and get into a dynamic discussion as opposed to speculate and pontificate about ways to change certain scenarios.
Do you mind sharing some examples of some of these problem solver sessions? Some specific topics?
Absolutely. Yeah. Our first one on Friday, March 13th, is called Problem Solvers, It's Compensating College Athletes for Their Likeness. So this is obviously a very timely topic, and it's at the forefront of everybody's minds in the collegiate sport world. And instead of coming at the topic in and of itself from a league angle, we're actually sort of saying, all right, let's take salary discussion versus scholarship off the table. And if we were actually to permit college athletes to, you know, get endorsements or make money off of their likeness, how does that work? What does that actually slice up into? Is it they can sell up to X number of autographs? Is it they are permitted to have this sort of endorsement or this sort of activity in the off season, but not while they're in season? Is it they can sell merchandise with their name on it as long as it's not affiliated with their actual institution, because the institution has it? So it's sort of actually slicing up those details. And we have a great group of people leading that session, including Brad Wolverton from the Chronicle of Higher Education, who's been covering the O'Bannon case since the beginning, and he's really immersed in this issue. We have Emmanuel Acho, who is an active lineman on the Philadelphia Eagles, as well as a recent college grad from University of Texas, and he's really sharp guy who's going to provide a cool perspective from the player side. And then we also have Gary Gritzog from Fanatics, from the merch side. So I think it's going to be a really cool, dynamic, engaging, and hopefully lively discussion. And then we have one on youth sports and how to provide opportunity for youth sports in areas where they're not traditionally opportunities. And the Aspen Institute folks are going to be leading that. I'm pleased about that. And then we've got Emily White from Dream Fuel, which is a crowdfunding opportunity for Olympic athletes. We'll be discussing how to sort of create better crowdfunding opportunities for competitive athletes in non-traditional sports and more individual sports.
That's interesting, because you guys are kind of ahead of the news with this one. I think the IOC just announced that they are going to allow for athletes to have some sort of outside sponsorship. I don't know if on their uniforms or what, but I just read a story in the news today that the IOC is now going to allow some of these amateur athletes to be sponsored by and wear logos other than the Olympic logo. So you guys are obviously ahead of the news. It's, you know, these are really, really interesting issues that we would talk about in a bar, in a coffee shop, at home. And I'm wondering if the goal is to, are you expecting an organization like the NCAA to be listening to this discussion you're having on compensating college athletes? Do you really hope that the outcome is that these guys up in Indianapolis are like, hey, yeah, you know, that really makes a lot of sense. Maybe we should listen to what South by Sports is talking about.
I mean, I don't know that I can say we are hoping for a direct, you know, active link like that. What I think we want to see happen is that our participants who are, they're people who have influence and they're engaged and they have impact on the world. And so the idea is if we get all these people in one room and they're hashing out these solutions, maybe that can trickle down a bit further and wider, and maybe it trickles up as well. But I think the idea is impacting change and starting discussions and involving a larger cultural investment from people who are not directly involved in the legislation or the administration of the issues currently.
And I think it's so smart what you're doing, because we as fans always want to feel as if we have a voice, and whether or not that voice is actually, whether or not that voice is actually heard is kind of beside the point. You know, fans just want to have their opinions heard, and to have those opinions heard on really topical issues is smart. And that appeals to all sorts of different kinds of fans, not just the zealots, but perhaps the more influential intellectual, you know, the people that really allow ideas to gestate sometimes. I really do like this idea of the problem solvers. This next question is going to be kind of hard for you to answer because I know all of these sessions, all of these sessions are your favorites. But if you had to just, if you had to just scan through your offerings this year, could you identify a few of the sessions that you are, especially excited about this year's South by Sports Festival? I know. I'm sorry.
For being excited about problem solvers, I think we're really proud about that. And just to say one more thing about it, it's great to hear that you as a fan are invested in kind of having those discussions as well. And that's the idea, is that we want to be able to allow this forum for discussion in a way that is organic and is not just about the industry making decisions, but participation from people who are consuming the sport. So thank you very much for getting that. I'm glad to hear it.
Yeah, no, if I can just continue with that for a second, I think sometimes, you know, that the sports industry kind of overlooks us, the fan, because we are very much the driving force behind their success. And I don't think there's anything wrong with sports fans having opinions. Now, where I disagree with a lot of fans is I don't think our opinions ultimately make a difference. But at the same time, I think as fans, we are entitled to our opinion. And if Problem Solvers is going to be, you know, organizing around debates that are progressive ideas, I'm all for that, because too often in sports, you know, we water things down to the lowest common denominator, and why not engage in really progressive discussions like you're trying to do?
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That is the goal, and it's something that South by Southwest overall has fostered for many, many years, where you have somebody from in the past, from the music industry and the tech industry in the room together, and they've never would have connected otherwise, and they never would have known they could, you know, do something together, but maybe they are in line waiting for barbecue and they're chatting, and suddenly there's an opportunity that arises that you never knew could come from it. So, cool. I'm glad you're into it.
Yeah. And the compensating college athletes, by the way, it could end up being a fairly one-sided discussion, because I think as all of us understand at this point, some of these people got to be paid, right?
Sure. Well, you know, from my perspective, I think that's one of the reasons we took such a specific angle on it, and it's not about the salary versus scholarship question. We really were saying, all right, let's throw all that out, and just hypothetically, if we were permitting athletes to have some form of compensation for their likeness while they're in college, what does that look like? Like, really, if you put it down on paper, what does that look like? So, because you could have a lot of conversations about that from a lot of different perspectives. We're trying to really hone in on one in particular.
I wonder, as Problem Solvers evolves, you know, this year and next year, I wonder if you'll start to get people in the room who represent perhaps the side that you're openly disagreeing with. It'd be really fascinating to get somebody from the NCAA. I know you have Brad Wolverton from the Chronicle of Higher Education, but to get someone from the NCAA in that room to be a part of this discussion would be really fascinating in future problem solvers.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think our hope is that a lot of these topics are going to be perennial, and we will evolve the discussion each year. And come at it from a slight different slice of life, and really push the boundaries of that topic. So to speak to what your question was earlier about sessions I'm really excited about, one in particular is called, it's called Culture of Violence. Can sports help end the culture of violence? So this is, again, one of these issues that we absolutely feel is paramount to cover. You know, there's something really telling about the fact that there are these major societal issues that play out through sport, like issues like domestic violence and sexual assault, which we've seen in the news pretty prevalently in the last, you know, year and a half. And we felt like, instead of coming at this from a disciplinary angle, from what is the league responsibility, we thought, let's look at this from a sociological perspective. Let's take some data and talk about where the origins of this comes from and really come at this from a cultural point of view in our environment, with a sports angle on it, but primarily sourced in from the cultural side. So we've got Ben Castleman from 538 who is moderating, and he is tremendously sharp, and he's pulling together the, you know, the source data for this. And then we're working with nomore.org and some former athletes who have some real hard things to say about their experiences and suggestions on solving that. So I think that having the discussion in the first place is just so important, and I'm really happy to provide a forum in which that can be done in this event space with this kind of audience.
And do you have other, I think that's so smart what you said, which is that in the case of, you know, sports helping to end a culture of violence, I think oftentimes sports, and this is why it's so powerful, sports is so powerful, is because sports can be a reflection of our culture. And when you look at a lot of the issues that affect us as a culture, not just in sports, but culture, you know, racism, abuse, things like that. These are things that play out in sports as well. And for you guys to tap into those discussions is really powerful, because then I think it impacts the sphere larger than sports. It also impacts culture. Are there other discussions? I'm sure there are too many to name right here, but there are other discussions which you feel are really taking on those type of challenging issues that affect not just sports, but culture and society as well?
Well, I think there are a few. I mean, we have a session on LGBT equality in sports, and a couple others, you know, youth sport experience. But I don't know that that's our overending goal, is to have all of the sessions have sort of serious societal ill focus like that. And then actually, we feel quite keen on providing experiences and sessions that are fun and cool and interesting and engaging on a different level, but still explore the cultural overlaps. So something like, I think it's called Play Good, Look Better, which is about fashion and sports, and Rembert Brown from Grantland will be moderating that. Because you really do see this intersection now in high fashion. You've got Russell Westbrook designing a line for Barney's. You've got, you know, there's certainly the sneakerhead culture and the perspective behind that, but there's something that feels very relatable and will really appeal to our audience about this particular kind of overlap, and it should be fun. So it's not necessarily only about bringing to light these issues, although we are really keen to have this platform to do so, but also to have fun and engaging topics of discussion that that cover these other areas where sports and culture overlap.
Yeah, no, I totally understand that. That's so much of the appeal of sports, is that they're fun and that they're a release. So why not embrace that as well?
Yeah.
You have so many offerings this year that, you know, it's going to be hard for people to pick and choose. I could just imagine being there and really having to make difficult decisions. You don't have to name names, but you have such an impressive list of people that are leading these panels, that are speaking on these panels. Without naming names, have you had to say no to people who have wanted to run a session or be a panelist, but you just simply don't have the space?
Yeah, absolutely. We're very fortunate. I mean, South by Southwest as a brand and as an event is so significant in its impact that we've been really lucky to only be a second year event in the sports industry, but have so many of the, you know, leagues, the teams, the brands, the agencies, the media properties, everybody's been very responsive and interested to participate. So it's been an embarrassment of riches, quite frankly, to have so much participation in only our year two. And it is a bit hard. You know, I think what I mentioned earlier about really trying to have a range of topics and a diversity to them that really covers the gamut of a cultural and technological perspective on sport, but at the same time coming at things from quite a specific individual angle, meant that we had this interesting puzzle to put together in terms of slotting three different rooms running concurrently for 3 days and what that looks like, and counter-programming each individual time slot so that you don't have, you know, two sessions on college athletics going against each other, right? And, you know, we got pitched a lot of great sessions that we kind of had covered in one way or another and already, and so we said, let's talk next year. So I think I'm excited to explore ongoing all the different ways we can keep mixing up the overall puzzle of the program and adding in new topics and different topics and maybe not covering one thing at all over the previous year, but we have a real flexibility because we're South by Southwest and it's our audience is so broad.
Yeah, and I wonder, do you find yourself, and I know you're gonna say no, but do you find yourself losing some of that kind of that Austin street cred, the fact that you have so many of these industries and leagues that are being represented at your South by Sports conference? You know, is it almost like, you know, it's not cool because the NBA is sending people from their league offices, and that kind of goes against kind of the movement of South by Southwest? Or am I reading too much? Am I reading too much into that?
Cred. First of all, I don't know, who knows what Austin Street Cred is, but I think typically, you know, South by Southwest is a really exciting event for Austin in general, although many of our attendees and participants are not Austin locals, because we're a much more globally focused event. I think people locally are pretty excited to have sports figures in town. I know last year, when we had Bill Simmons, it was a big deal for people from across the entire event. And Jurgen Klinsmann was one of our main featured speakers last year. And, you know, we were 3 months out from the World Cup, and that was quite a big draw. So I think what happens is it's not losing street cred. It's sort of adding opportunity and access to the sports world, which has previously been pretty separate and siloed from what we do in our cultural technological events. So I think people see it as kind of a cool bonus. I've been really excited and it's been quite validating to have the kind of inverse response from the sports industry themselves, who, you know, really see the opportunity to access a different kind of audience here at South by Southwest. And in a different form. It's not Have you ever been here?
I've never been to South by Southwest, and I've never been to Austin, so got to take care of those two things.
Yeah. We always say it's not about the beer and the barbecue, but it kind of can be about the beer and the barbecue. I mean, the environment here is just, it's fun.
Yeah.
It can be kind of informal. People are connecting with each other, and there's business being done, but it's not so dry or sort of standard. There's just a fluidity to it and an energy and an excitement that you just don't find at other conferences, you know, quite frankly. So for us in the sports space, I think I don't think they see anything like us, quite frankly. It's a different vibe. It's a lot fewer, you know, execs in suits pontificating on the 30,000 foot view. You know, it's more casual and I think it's going to be a breath of fresh air.
Well, I don't think anyone's going to hold the beer and the barbecue against you.
No, they usually don't, unfortunately.
those two things go very well together. All right, so if I had to, you have so many offerings this year, and this is only the second year of South by Sports, but if I had to ask you for some issues in sports that you would like to see paneled at future South by Sports festivals, what would you like to see eventually?
Eventually, where I see this going is that everything, the technological side of it is integrated across the board. I mean, I don't think that's necessarily, it's a given at this point in terms of everything, no matter what the topic. And I think that's something we've seen as a pattern in South by Southwest overall, is this creativity and innovation in tech is impacting all of our industries. So for me, where I'd like to see this go and evolve, hopefully, is to really continue to explore the cultural threads and provide that opportunity for those areas to intersect and be discussed in front of live audiences in a way that they aren't currently.
That's a tough question. I mean, because you have so many offerings, it's really, you know, after this passes, I'm sure you'll digest and you'll look back and say, okay, maybe we can add this next year and add a little bit more there.
But yeah, I mean, I'm sure if you're looking for specific topics, like, like I would love to have more. I would like to have something a little more focused on the overlap between music and sport next year. That's a topic I'm definitely planning to hit. Probably looking a little more into e-commerce. That's an important angle. There's something I'm really interested in, sort of from a cultural side, in terms of parenting and how it pertains to youth sports and development.
Yeah. You have some of that this year, right? You have a little bit of the youth sports conundrum that faces a lot of us parents as far as, you know, how to steer their kids in youth sports.
Right. I don't know if you saw, we have one called Can MLB Data Save Young Pitchers' Arms? I might be bastardizing that title. But
I did see something. Yeah.
Yeah. Is that, can MLB data solve arm injuries in youth pitchers? Okay.
That's
more succinct than I did it. But that to me is like, that's emblematic of exactly what we're trying to get at here, where it's such a specific topic, right? But it's immersed in technology. It's looking at sort of the cultural origins and a sociological perspective of what our kids are doing and how that's going to translate from a sport perspective to a longevity and career and athletic ability. But what's appealing about it is it's both interesting to the industry, who's paying attention to specialization issues, and certainly in MLB this is a major issue, and yet you hit exactly the nail on the head. As a parent, you might be interested in going to that session because maybe you have a son who plays baseball or a daughter who plays baseball, and you want to know where it's going to go for them. So it's the idea of appealing to people on all these different levels with a very specific topic at the same time.
Well, what I think you need to do, if you haven't already, is I think you need to offer a session where you can get all the parents in Austin together and tell them once and for all, back off, let your kids be kids.
There's that too, yeah.
I think that would be really healthy. All right, just a couple of fun ones here as we end our time. You just mentioned baseball. I played baseball in college, so I have a question for you. Is it harder to hit a softball or baseball?
Slow pitch or fast pitch?
Fast pitch.
Harder? With fast pitch, probably softball, because if you're on a softball field, it's a shorter distance from the mound.
Do you know what an average... Right, so an average fast pitch softball is traveling at what speed relative to the distance to home plate? I don't know the number, but I think a fast pitch softball is coming towards the plate faster than a baseball. Is that right?
Whatever the proportion is, the math escapes me. But as a former high school softball player, I recall being quite proud of this fact. And talking about it quite a lot with my baseball boyfriend. So yeah, I mean you got a lot to do in a shorter distance.
That was a tough question. Having never played fast pitch softball, I can't answer it. But I will say that one of the things that always amazes me with softball pitchers is that there's a pitch where as you swing your arm past your body, you hit the ball against your hip. So when you swing your arm underhand and bring it down against your side, you hit the ball against your hip, and that creates a spin on the ball, almost like a curveball. You're gonna have to try that. Pretty cool. Okay, last question. I saw on your Twitter bio that you are a Wolverine, so I'm just gonna assume that when Coach Harbaugh leaves Michigan in 4 years to take over the New England Patriots. How many times will the Wolverines have beaten the Buckeyes?
Oh, okay. So there's so many errors in this question. first of which is presuming that Harbaugh's out in 4. I'll give you your hypothetical, and you're saying in the next 4 years, how many times are we going to beat Ohio State?
Yep.
Oof, I gotta say, I think we'll split it. I think next year Urban takes it. And then we give Harbaugh recruiting class a year to get up to speed, and then we go.
Is it the national championship or bust? Or are Michigan fans honestly talking 3-4 years? You're going to be holding up the hardware.
I don't know, but I'm a bold Michigan There are too many other great teams and too many other factors that play into that. But I believe in Jim Harbaugh. I think in terms of, at the very least, in terms of inspiring confidence from recruitees and from the alumni, from the team, from the administration, from the school, from the media, you know, I don't know that there was anyone else who could have turned it around so immediately. So we'll have to see how that plays out on the field. I believe it will play out well. He's a winner, Jim Harbaugh, but, you know, I don't know. I'm pragmatist, too. I'm also a Bills fan, so, you know, I know how it goes.
Yeah, you've dealt with losing before as a Bills fan.
I've been there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I wanted to let you go with a really difficult question, a question that really mattered. Rebecca, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me about South by Sports, and best of luck in the next few weeks.
Yeah, thank you so much for being interested. Hopefully you can attend next year.
Yeah, love to. Thank you. I'd love to see Austin. Thanks a lot.